Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
Thank you. Wow, it is so special to see so many of our web church family in person, where we can actually touch you, not just see you through a screen, but touch you. And I know that there's a lot of you watching online that could not make it here. I've connected with a few of you. You said, I've so wanted to come, but I couldn't. But isn't this amazing that you can be right in the room with us? And we're so glad that you are. So what an honor to be able to share the word this morning. And so let's pray, because it's a very special, special day of celebration. Jesus, when you came into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, you came to make an announcement. You came to declare that you weren't there to fight against us, war against us, subdue us, or conquer us with war, but with peace and love, that you would take our hearts inside of yours. And we're so grateful, Lord, to acknowledge you as a King of love and King of truth and King of righteousness. You are our King, and we do say Hosanna this morning to you. And Lord, we are so grateful for all that you've done in our life and all that you've given us. Words fail us to share from our hearts how grateful we are. And Lord, may this message today bless your people and bless you, Jesus, as we celebrate your word. Amen. Well, this is Palm Sunday, as we've heard already, and it's all about the triumphant King of Peace who came to reconcile man to God and God to man. It's just amazing what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We can never take it for granted, because his love is so enormous. And where would we be today without him? Where would our eternal destiny be, the final destination for eternity, without Jesus coming and doing what he did? There is only one name under heaven by which man can be saved, and that is his name, and he is worthy of our Hosanna. Every Hosanna in us, he is worthy of. And in Matthew 21, that's not my text for today, but I do want to reference it. And I want you to take time to meditate on it today, read it, celebrate him in it, because it describes his entrance into Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem for Passover, actually, and I won't go into an explanation of that right now, but it's one of the most holiest celebrations in our faith, in biblical faith. And because it spoke of Jesus being our Passover. And but when Jesus came into Jerusalem, there's three worthy elements just to take note of before we go into the message. And one was that he rode in on a donkey, not a horse. And traditionally, a king, when he entered a city, if he was riding a horse, he was actually announcing that he was ready for war. But if he came in on a donkey, it symbolized that he came in as peace, all is well, all is blessed, all is given. And so it's worthy to note that he came in on a donkey. And the donkey symbolizes humility as well as peace, and also burden bearing. And we are to bear one another's burdens. And it also represents service. And he came as a servant king. It's powerful. And secondly, the coats of the people were put on the donkey and thrown down before him. He actually rode over the coats of the people. And coats speak of our identity, speaks of our covering. It keeps of that speaks of that which hides our heart or protects our heart. And they threw it all down for him, and declaring that, Lord, you are our identity, you are our covering, you are our protection, you are the one that covers our heart. And then thirdly, they laid the palm branches down. And palm branches, as we've already heard, are symbolic of victory, triumph, and peace. And the triumphant yet modest entrance by Jesus actually demonstrated his full divine nature coming into Jerusalem. And it emphasized that he not only came as Israel's king, but also as Savior, who would grant eternal salvation, come on, through spiritual means rather than a political force. And I'll just leave that there. But where I want to take you this morning is to Revelation 7, verses 9 to 13. And I'm going to read that whole portion, and it'll be up on the screen for you as well. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And where have they come?" And I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. And they will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Now, when we read this portion, because, you know, it talks about this great multitude of people, all dressed in white with palm branches in their hands, and they are honoring the Lord. And he says, where do these come from? And it says, out of the great tribulation. And so often we think, oh, yeah, the tribulation of the end times is going to be the worst tribulation ever. And then, you know, whoever comes out of that, you know. But I want to make it more personal today. Because how many of you in your life have ever faced a great tribulation, a great trial? And some of you are in a great tribulation right now. You're going through a trial right now. You're in a battle right now. And there is a way to come through and stand before the throne of God, understanding his deity, his power, his glory, his conquering heart more than you ever have before, because you get to go through a great tribulation. Now, if you've never had a great tribulation in your life, you will. And you know, if you're in one and you're feeling sorry for yourself, just remember, we all get them. Praise God we're not all in it at the same time, right? Because we can help each other through it when we're in it. And, you know, we really need each other in times like that. Before I go more into the message, I want to share a praise report. I want to thank you all for praying for my husband, Ron, because we're actually really seeing signs of reversal of symptoms right now. And I know that so many of you have been standing and believing. And last year, I went through my own great tribulation. An emotional great tribulation, because my husband just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and we were standing believing for years, but in the natural, the manifestations just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I went into a really dark place in my own heart, as far as I literally said, "God, you're going to have to raise up other people to believe, because I'm just like, I'm spent." And when I saw where my husband was with, like, I won't go into all the levels of symptoms, but it was really, really intense. And it was really hard. Very, very few nights where you could sleep or whatever. There was just so much care to be given, month after month after month, and seeing deterioration. And I even started to think, I guess it's just going to be like this. I better prepare for the worst. That's where my mind went. And that's why we need each other in our trials, because I had people around me saying, no, you know, you can't go there. You can't think that way, even though it felt really real. And there are going to be times when you are in a trial where the pressure of that trial will seem like your reality. It will seem like that's just the way it is. It's not going to change. And all of us, and it doesn't matter who you are, we all are at the foot of the cross. We are all made of the same substance. And if it weren't for Christ in us, the hope of glory, where would we be? And there's no superstars in the kingdom of God. There are times when we just need each other, and God designed the body like that. So he never put anyone up on a pedestal, because there's going to be times when their faith will fail them. Jesus actually prayed a prayer like that. He said, I have prayed that your faith will not fail you. Well, we know the temptation of that. Each and every one of you knows that. And if you say, no, I've been in 100% faith my whole Christian walk, we need to deliver you. Honestly. So I just want you to have permission to feel loved and supported and encouraged, even at times when you are suffering in a failure or a weakening of your own faith. And as a house, as a family, this is what we're here to do, is to encourage and strengthen each other in time of need. But my husband, just recently, it's like all of a sudden everything's it's just reversing. I won't say everything's reversing, but there's so much reversing that it's noteworthy. It's really noteworthy. Even his personality being unlocked, because with Parkinson's, there's no dopamine. And so it's just, you got the Parkinson's stare. They don't get excited about anything. There's no fire on the inside of them. And his fire's come back. His personality is alive again. And he just loves to serve, but he hasn't been able to. He couldn't figure out in his brain how to put things together. And now he's putting things together. And it's just like, I just want to praise God. So I say that to say this. It was my great tribulation last year. But there's things that if you keep the faith. And by the way, I want to remind you again. When you identify a faith failure, you just ask the Lord to forgive you, and he erases it. And it's just as if you never happened. I'm sharing with you this morning about my faith failure to give you permission to really rise up in God. But before God, he doesn't even remember my faith failures. He only sees what's good, right? You know, he only sees my perfect faith as I walk through it. And if I try to remind him, because I have in the past on different things, he says, no, I don't remember that. No, I don't remember that. I thought, how could you not remember it? I mean, it's vivid in my own mind. He said, that's your problem. You're remembering it. I'm not remembering it. I only see this. And so what an honor to be laboring together for, you know, serving one another to come through our great tribulations. But when they came through, they had this praise, they had this honor, they had this glory unto God that they had never known before. That level was so massive. And I have found that when I come through trials and testings and tribulations, it's true that when you come through to the other side, it's like this gratefulness unto God is just so enlarged within you. So don't despise your trials. Don't despise them. Embrace them. Because you will come through every single one of them. If you have gone through a trial, you know what I mean. If you are going through a trial, you know what I mean. If you're going to go through a trial, you will know what I mean, right? Because it's just, it's our portion in the Lord. And they were white. They had white garments, and they had their palm branches in their hand. They had the victory before the Lord. So I want to share five things that will bless you when you come through your great tribulation and you stand white with God, holding your palm branch in hand and glorifying him. And the first one is, when you are in a great trial, or even a small trial, count it all joy. Now, we do have to remind each other of that, right? Because when you're in it, the last thing you feel like doing, right, is like doing a leaping dance and being excited about it, right? But it says, count it all joy. And in John 16, 33, Jesus said this, in the world, you will have tribulation. It's actually a promise. You know, we love to say, I'm claiming the promises of God. We'll claim that one, right? Because it is a promise. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome not only your trial, but the whole world. I love this. Okay, and then in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, that's what's being tested, and your love will be tested too, by the way, just adding a little PS onto that. Every trial will test your love and your faith. That the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Did you hear this? When you come through your trial, the great tribulation, on the other side, you will lack nothing. When you walk through it with God, you can look forward to just a really wonderful end of the cycle. And God wants you to be happy because you always win. You know, that's a promise too, right? 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who always, how often? Always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Him. So whatever you're facing, you can look forward to. Like, it feels terrible right now, and I don't like this, but I know at the end of it is going to be something so glorious, because the end is already promised, and the end is victory. The end is victory, and victory is sweet. Victory is amazing. And don't just say about your trial, I don't care about the victory, I just want out of this right now. You know, just say, no, you don't want to walk through a trial and not get the victory. You want to seize the victory. And, you know, it just can't be for nothing. You can't say, oh, yeah, I walked through the trial and oh, I'm glad I'm on the other side of it. No, you say, I'm not coming out of this without the victory. I always tell the devil, you'll be sorry you ever tried, because I'm going to get something so big and so glorious out of this. Be happy. You always win. And help each other be happy in the midst of their trial. Be sensitive about that, though. You don't go to someone who's really suffering and say, come on, cheer up, yay, you know. Let's have a laughing party, you know. You want to be sensitive. Okay. Okay, secondly, allow your trials, your great tribulations, to perfect, cleanse, and mature you. Allow your great tribulations, your trials, to perfect, cleanse, and mature you. So invite the Lord. When you are in the midst of a trial, invite the Lord to do a deep work within you. And that's easy to pray, but it's another thing to walk through that, right? Because a lot of times when you're in the midst of a trial, there's so many elements. Some of them are circumstantial. Some of them are relationships or people, or you have disagreements and you're trying to protect yourself in the midst of and prove yourself, you know, that you're better or whatever. And it comes across in a way that just creates more pride, you know, just more self, rather than saying, Lord, just do the work in me. What do you need to do in me? A lot of times in marriage is a great training ground. If you haven't been married yet, really pray if you want to be. No. I'm speaking as someone who's had a very easy 51 years of marriage. We just celebrated 51 years a week or two ago. And it's honestly been easy, but I've heard from many people that there's some different elements to be experienced by some. But anyways, you know, a lot of times in a married couple, when you have differences, you start to build your wall up instead of saying, Lord, we're in a bit of a crisis here right now, tension in the house, work in me. What are you doing in my life? What do you want to change in me? And that goes with any relationship. It could be a family relationship, a church relationship, someone in your workplace. Just ask the Lord, what can you do in me? Use this trial to perfect that which concerns me. David, a great king, said in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting life." And so there was a great king, had so many things to do, and yet he was so interested in God looking deep into his heart. And he said, "Test me and try me." How many of you go before the Lord and say, "Test me, Lord, try me, Lord"? No, we run from that. You know, we just say, "Bless me, Lord. Fill me, Lord." Forget the testing and the trial. But David, he pursues God and says, "Test me, Lord. I want to know what I'm made of." And you'll never know what you're made of until you're in a trial. You'll never know that you're secure unless you face insecurity. You'll never know if there's pride in you unless you have a temptation for self-exaltation, right? You'll never know unless those temptations come your way. You'll never know what's in you. You'll never know how much you love someone until, you know, until, all right? Until the pressure comes, until the testing of that love comes, until you're looking at the most obnoxious behavior in front of you and you realize, "What is in me, Lord? What is in me?" And it'll show, you know? It'll ooze out of every pore of your being, right? And that's when you find out how much love you have in you, how much faith you have in you, what you need to present to the Lord and receive his help in. In Psalm 51:10, David also said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." In Psalm 119:67, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word." And so, Lord, we just thank you for all the trials and testings that you bring our way. And Lord, our heart is to stand in such humility before you and before others. We don't want to try to prove ourselves great. We want to show you great. And we want to humble our hearts in your presence and just release to the world that we live in the blessing of who you are. So do a work within us. And so that's one of the blessings that comes with your great tribulations, is to allow it to work for you. Now, I want to just interject here. We were having a conversation last night. In fact, I don't know if Tasha's in the room still this morning or not, but Tasha and I were talking about this, about how important our choices are. Because one choice can set you on a path that would be totally different than if you chose something else. One choice. And every choice matters. I was just in a group of beautiful, wonderful men who have had unfortunate things take place in their life. They were all out of prison. They had experienced years and years of addiction. And you don't become a prisoner overnight. You don't become an addict overnight. It's one choice at a time. Even before you use a substance, it's your choices. Your choice of friendship, your choice of relationship, your choice of whether you're going to make wise decisions and something or not. But whatever you choose is going to put you on a path. And if you look back on your life right now, you'll see the choices you made to get you to where you are right now. And if you made different choices in the past, you would have a different outcome right now. And so we can rejoice in the moment that Jesus came into our life, because that was a really good choice that put us on an amazing path, right? But if you look back, and by the way, you can go back into time if you see that you made wrong choices. Just, there's no time or distance in the realm of the spirit. And just say, "Jesus, take me back to that point, because I'm going to ask that you wash that and cleanse it, and I choose differently." And then just put it out there in the spirit and see what happens, right? You can go back into time. He's a redeemer of the time. Number three, during trials, battles, and testings, ask the Lord to teach you his ways. You know, I find that whenever there's a test, there's things that I learn in that I never knew about before, that I never had access to before. I never dug for, I was never so desperate before, so, you know, it just didn't pop up. But I always find that during trials and testings, I really learn a lot. It's like an accelerated learning curve. So don't let your test or your trial go by without squeezing everything that you can out of it for your good, right? And so ask the Lord to teach you his ways during the trials. He'll teach you new ways to overcome. He'll teach you new insights of wisdom. He'll teach you how to relate to others even in better ways. He'll teach you things about yourself that you never thought of. I mean, it'll be amazing. And ask him to bring the teaching to you that you need, and you'll be surprised what opens up, you know, because he wants that for you. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you." Number four, use your trials and battles and testings to bring you into a deeper levels of surrender to him. Surrender of all that you are and all that you have. There's nothing better than to lay yourself on the altar and just say, "Jesus, I just leave it all on the table for you. There's nothing I'm holding back." And in the midst of a trial, it's so freeing to do that, saying, "Jesus, this trial, this great tribulation I'm in right now, it's bigger than me, but you are bigger than it. And so I'm just going to lay myself and the trial on the altar before you and completely surrender." And then watch what he does. Watch what he does when you yield completely to him like that. It's just amazing. In 1 Peter 5:10, out of the Amplified, it says, "After you have suffered for a little while," because that's the nature of trials, they produce suffering. God doesn't author it, but trials will produce it. "The God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor in the midst of a trial, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be." I love it. And also in Revelation 7, 16 and 17, let's just look at that again. "They will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." After every battle, there is acceleration, there is promotion, there is increase, there is blessing. And so it's not over until it's over. When he said, "Who are these that are dressed in white? These white, pure white garments, who are they?" Well, the trials worked in them things to bring forth the righteousness of Christ, knowing they had nothing to offer of themselves. Who are these with the palm branches in their hand? Who are these that are holding and celebrating the victory of Jesus Christ? Who are these? These are the ones who have come through, not stuck in the great tribulation, but have come through great tribulation. And I'm just going to decree and declare over each and every one of you, none of you are going to get stuck, right? You're all going to come through, every single one of you. And when you come through, woo, look at all the promotion. No sickness, no sorrow, no oppression, no nothing, just glory. You're seeing Jesus in greater ways than you've ever known him before. Now, in the world, we're going to be facing some trials on a global level, but it doesn't need to touch us in a way that will weaken us. It will strengthen us. It will fortify us. I'm going to give you an example. In the church in China, the underground church in China became the largest and strongest church body in the world during severe persecution. They stood before the Lord. In fact, I know of members of the underground church that pray for the Western church that will be persecuted, because they say it's such a blessing. You need to be persecuted. You need greater persecution. You need greater this so that you can see greater Christ, so that you can know him in a greater way. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to experience that level, but we might. And if so, are we ready for it? Are we ready to live in the fullness of all God has for us because we know that we come through into a place of great glory. And there might be some trials ahead of us that we're going to have to really, really take hold of in the Lord. But you will be one of those standing amongst a great multitude who have come out of a great tribulation, right? And honoring God and seeing him in all of his glory, seeing his majesty, proclaiming him with the hosts of heaven for all eternity. And that's for any tribulation you are in. And I'll just say, even though it says great tribulation, some of you are right now. How many of you are right now are in a great tribulation? Put up your hand. A number of you, okay? So this is for you now, and others of you might have your great tribulation later, or you've already gone through some. But how many of you are in a smaller tribulation? You've got tribulation, but you wouldn't call it great. Put up your hand. Yeah. So that includes everyone in the whole room. Okay, it looks like, oh, well, maybe I should ask this question. Is there anyone right now who is not at this moment in any level of trial? Wow. Oh, you're amongst friends. Yay, we're all going through it. And did you hear that? Going through it. You're not stuck in it. You are not. I decree that over you, because some of you, you needed to be here this morning. God called you to be here this morning to hear this, because you are not stuck in it. You're coming through. And when you come in, coming through, you will have something to wave and rave about. And Jesus' name is going to be exalted more in your life than ever before. And you can get that palm branch in your hand right now. And you can throw down your garment before him right now and say, Jesus, you are my king. You are my king. And I receive your peace and I receive your victory. I receive your triumph. I receive all that you are and all that you have. I receive you. And as you do it now and settle that issue, then it establishes him as your victorious king right now in the midst of your situation. And everything will align to that plumb line. Every fragment of your trial will have to align to that. I loved the way Pastor Francisco led today with the clear. It was such a vivid picture, right? You know, when everything aligns to the Lord, where that power from God just goes in and resets everything. And when you say this morning, Jesus, you are my victorious King, and I behold you. I behold you in your humility, in your power, in your servanthood, in your burden bearer, and in your kingly victory. I behold you. And I celebrate you. And I decree that in the midst of what I'm facing right now, you are my king and everything is going to be aligned to you. Everything. And I guarantee you it'll all come in. He works everything together for good. There's always treasures in the darkness. There's always things that you can take hold of and run with. Amen? And it's so beautiful that we can together encourage one another and say, hey, we're going to be in that great multitude. And when someone asks heaven, hey, who are these? Those are those Shilonites that came through. Right? These are the ones that came through. They came through great tribulation, and their faith was strengthened, not weakened. It's so easy to run from a trial instead of run into it and embrace it. So easy to try to push it away. But if you push it away, you'll never grow. You'll never mature. You'll never taste the great victory on the other side of it, right? So it looks like we're all in good company today. Yay, we're all in the midst of trials, which means there's a lot of victory in this room. There's a weight of glory. That's why this year, Psalm 24, you know, open up ye gates. Open up gates into your trial this morning, whatever your trial is. Some of you might be a health battle. You're in a trial for your health and your strength. Others, it might be financial. Others, relational. Others, maybe you're feeling spiritually blocked. Whatever it is, Jesus is with you to give you victory. And on the other side of it, there's great testimony. Whoa, how many of you have been a little shaken in your faith through the trial that you're in? Just put up your hand. Let me see. Yeah. You know, that's why I shared my story. If I didn't share that, no one would have put up your hand. But you see, because I shared, you all feeling safe to put up your hand, right? Honestly, we just need to keep ourselves humble before each other, but before God. And he's going to come through and bring you all. There's going to be testimony. We're just going to stay with him, and we're going to believe him, and we're going to celebrate him, and we're going to find the hallelujah on the inside of us. That's what God taught me years ago. He said, when you're in the midst of a trial, it might feel like you've got nothing left, but there is a hallelujah on the inside of you, and if you can find that, it'll change everything. And this morning, some of you are finding your hallelujahs, your hosannas, your celebration of him. So stand to your feet right now. I want to pray for you. You're so precious. Wow. There's someone here this morning, and maybe even some that are watching online, but I can feel it so strong in my spirit, is that your trial's been so heavy, and you're not suicidal, but it's like you're saying, I think I'm done. Take me, Lord. Like, it's not suicidal, but it's just wanting to be there instead of here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just changing realms. And the Lord says, I'm not finished with you yet. And I know that this is a confirmation to whoever that word is for, because you've been wrestling with the Lord over it, but that's what keeps coming to you. And you're trying to think, well, what could I, why does the Lord have need of me? What could I possibly do? You'll find out. You'll find out. But he's going to give you grace, and that hopelessness that's been on you is breaking off of you now in Jesus' name. Whoa. And a fresh vision for your future has just entered you. A grace. I should say a grace. And God is at work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lift up your hands into the glory right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing upon every single one here. I thank you, Lord, for pouring out your love on them, for strengthening them and fortifying them. And Lord, releasing inside of them the established victory for the trial that they are in. And Lord, that they will be bound to it. That there'll be a wrapping of your grace around that victory in their lives, so that they will only have the victory that you have promised in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I just feel a bit of a prophetic flow. So you can be seated for a moment. I just feel that there might be some prophetic words. Tara, I feel the Lord saying to you, well done, good and faithful daughter. The scripture says good and faithful servant, but I hear him say good and faithful daughter. And you're going to enter into a season of greater joy. You always exude joy, but the Lord says that you're going to enter into a greater level of joy. And I see chains breaking off where there's been the warfare of the enemy hitting you and Benjamin. The chains are on the ground. I see them already broken off. They're on the ground. And the Lord says, well done. You came through. You know, you came through, and I just see something so glorious ahead for you. I just feel joyous. The testimonies and your heart for helping those in need. And I'm thinking of India right now and other places like that. There's going to be things that you'll put your hand to that the seed that you sow in your time, your finance, and everything else is going to produce eternal fruit. And wait till you see it. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. I am so thankful for your grace, but it's Antique. I can't pronounce your name. I feel so. You know what? I'm going to make a name for you. that I will call you. It'll just be between you and I, but then I'll call you that. But I'm going to ask the Lord to give me a name for you so that I will be able to speak it clearly, know it clearly and everything. But whoa, what I see over you is I see a halo in the form of a rainbow. And it speaks of covenant promises that the Lord has given you in the past concerning the call of God on your life. I see you standing before kings. I see you standing before people of great stature, not only governmentally, but in different spheres of influence. And your word that you speak is going to get to them, even ones that you know that you're supposed to have audience with, but the way isn't made. I see you speaking it out into the spirit, and it's actually going to them like an arrow hitting the mark. It's just amazing. The Lord's also showing me that there's going to be strategic relationships for you in this coming 12 months. And even to 14 months. There's one coming a little bit after 12 months from now. But there's strategic relationships that God is going to connect you with. And I see revelation pouring into you. I know that you've written a book, but I see another one coming. And like it's almost like a baby machine is what I'm seeing. It's book after book after book. Like there's like one book is going to birth another book that's going to birth another book that's going to birth another book. But it's saturated with revelation, with insight, with understanding. And Lord, I pray that you would open the door of opportunity for her. This is the year of the open door. I pray for the door of opportunity to open to you, the door of favor. And when you walk into a room, people will know you by the spirit and not by the flesh. They'll say, whoa, I see the light of God. I see the lamp of God. The Lord's also showing me that you spend a lot of time in the presence of the Lord. Intercession, decrees, worship, just connecting in communion with God. And it's out of that place that wells of glory are opening up and will be poured out. There's also a healing mantle on you to minister healing to the sick. And also, you're not a medical doctor, right? But I see a medical intelligence on you. And so there's something that's going to be downloaded in this next little while that is going to give you divine intelligence. It has something to do with the medical, not so much field, but medical issues. You know, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years and stuff like that. So there's going to be divine intelligence coming to you. Amen. You're just such a blessing. And Charisse, I just see over you, you're in a good place. And I know in the natural some of the things that you've walked through, but the Lord says, well done. Well done, even in the midst of all the hard places. And you're going to continue to walk out of that season into your season of victory. And you've been feeling recently, I see you standing at a fork in the road, and it's not knowing which way to go. And every time you seek the Lord, it's just the same thing. It's like no real clear direction. So you're just standing there and you're thinking, Lord, I'm just standing here. Like, I don't know how to move forward here. I don't know which direction to take to move forward. And I'm reminded of Ephesians 6, which talks about putting on the full armor. And he says, when you've done all to stand, then stand. And so that's why you've been standing. That's why you're not moving forward into the actual direction yet, because the Lord needed you to stand until the warfare was completely diminished. Because when you start walking again on the path, it's going to be something new, fresh, glorious. It'll fill you with joy, and it will manifest destiny purpose in it. And you're just about there. You know, it's just about time. I see the wheels starting to get ready to turn. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Peterson family, I just see, and I know that we've prayed the dedication of your daughter and your family again, celebrating you. But I just see such a strong, like your standard bearers as a family, but not just in the church, but in your community and the people that you influence. There's a standard bearer that God's called you to be. And I see you having opportunity in this next, you know, number of months to actually challenge some things. Normally you're peaceful, You know, you're accepting of people, you love them, but I see that there's something coming where you're going to hear something or something's going to be presented to you, and it's like all the plugs are coming out and you're saying, no, this is the way it is, right? And it's like I see it in the spirit, a big standard being raised up where everything will be aligned to that. But yeah, God's got great things for your whole family, for, you know, you're such a blessing. Thank you. Hey, wow, hello, can I pray for you? Wow, I see your arms raised up before the Lord in worship in the formation of a V, and it speaks of two things. The first thing, obviously, that comes to me is victory, and the Lord says victory is going to come through your worship and your praise. And just like Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they were shackled, they were stuck in the innermost part of the prison, and they just had this heart of worship and declared their praise and their prayers before God, and then power came and shook everything, not just where they were, but affected other people. And the Lord says that you are a man of influence. You've stood in a place that has a rippling effect of influence. So in this coming season, when the victory is released, it's going to be not just for you, but for others. The other thing I see about the V is, I'm from Canada, and we have these things called geese. Yeah, we know really well about these Canada geese down in Phoenix here, and the wonderful gifts that they bring to our grass. But anyways, the thing about the geese is that they fly in a V formation, because they are breakers, and they break the wind resistance, and then one will lead at first, then he'll go to the back, and the others are honking for the one up front. It's like honk, honk, honk. It's like encouraging them to move forward. So what I see about you is that you have two things. Number one, you can break through resistance and go to the next level and take people with you, because you're all about caring about people going with you. And there's times that you can lead well, but you also are really good falling back when you need to and being in the cheering section. And you're a great motivator and a great cheerleader for many in the body. And not just in the body, actually. I see it with the unsaved as well. Amen. Hey, Wendy, so good to see you. Hey, wow. Girl, you haven't seen anything yet. And the Lord says that your faith is purchasing power, and that you have already downloaded so much. But because you've been faithful through your tests, through the trials, through everything that you've been through, that there's great reward coming, and that your faith is definitely your currency. And some of the things you prepaid with your faith that are going to be manifest in this next season. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just bless your people. We bless this day. We bless the season that you've brought us in. And more than anything, Lord, we bless you with our love. Amen.
That was fun. Thank you. I was grabbing Patricia's hand. Pray for me. Just kidding. I was thanking her for today. Come on, let's thank the Lord for our apostles, our those that God commissions. Come on, thank you, Lord, right? And of course, we love Patricia, so we say, thank you, Jesus. But really, it's that she grabs onto that lives inside of her, and that's Jesus, right? And what we love is just she allows Jesus to come out, right? And so we give praise to the Lord for sending us, Patricia. It's awesome. Eric, I got to pray for you. Come back. Don't leave. It's okay. Shandaraka, ba, 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 ba. It's okay. Come here. I was feeling when Patricia was praying over there for that man, I felt like there was a victory for you. And so I actually feel, this is what I actually saw, and I actually saw it over Terry too, is that I believe that God's going to begin to push you in the right direction, right? Now, when he begins to push you in the right direction, I believe that you're coming into a season of acceleration. And so I believe that the Lord's literally, so we're going to do demonstration, okay? Don't be offended, right? You're my bro, but push you in the way you should go, right? And you know, you're awesome. You and your wife, you're such a great part of the church. I want you to know that him and his wife, they're the directors of the children's ministry here at Shiloh. And this is really good, because I believe that in ministry, you're going to begin to see an increase with the children, but I also believe that for your life, God is going to show you some key victories for your life in this season. And so I just want you to be ready to receive them, because God's going to make you aware of some things. And in this message today that Patricia said, there will be challenges because you're going to have some tough decisions to make, right? But the Lord's going to help push you and steer you into the right direction. It's not Lord being mean, right? It's not the Lord being mean, right? It's actually the Lord saying, no, son, come here. I got something more. I got something better. I got this for you. I got that for you. And the reason he can do that with you is because you're sensitive in the spirit, and you'll actually lean into the things that God is doing. So it's actually not a shove. It's a push. But yeah, it's a love tap. That's right. It's a love tap. There you go. Into the right direction. But God bless you and thank you. So would you reach out your hands, and we bless this for, oh, there she is. Your wife's back there. So we pray this for you and your wife in Jesus' name and your children. Lord, we thank you for the miracles this far, Lord. But Father, you have called in more. Whoa, I see the Lord calling in more miracles for you and your family. Eric, I'm going to be really bold here, but I feel like the Lord is saying that your whole family is going to come to know him. Through the miracles and through the things that God is working with, your whole family is going to come to know him. And your father is about to have a real close encounter with God. So, Lord, thank you that his dad's about to come to know you in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We call him Father Eric. Just so you guys know, we call him Father Eric. And so I called him yesterday on the phone, and I was like, you know, in Spanish, they call the Pope El Papa. And so I called him up, and I was like, El Papa, and he was like, and right on task. He didn't miss a beat. He was like, I bless you, my son. So very quick-witted, and he's an amazing treasure. But this is Eric Salcido, everybody. Get to know him. Him and his wife, Valerie. Valerie, wave hi to everybody back there. That's Valerie, so God bless you. You're going to go check on the kids. Of course you would. Of course you would, because you're a good, responsible man. Yes, please, come. Let's go. You got a word for him? Because I'll call him back.
No, okay. Maybe. I just feel such a strong prompting. I couldn't leave without releasing this. Lord, show me some of you have been already stepping into a place of bivocational or trivocational, which means different areas that you're serving in. And there's a few of you that have been wrestling because you're thinking, but how would I do that and this too? How does it fit? It might be like business and ministry, or being a homemaker and an educator, like how do I do it all sort of thing. So what I want to share, and then I want to release it. My friend Peter Roselli, who many of us were praying for resurrection, he's totally resurrected into the glory right now, having a good time in heaven. But he was a major business person on Wall Street. And full of integrity. He never compromised integrity in working on Wall Street all those years, right? But he also planted a church and has been was a pastor for over 20 years and church planter. So he worked full-time in a really big business realm and in the church. And in addition to that, he was on numerous boards of well-known ministries that you would know. Their names, and took responsibility for serving them as well. So the question would be, how can you divide yourself into so many different places? And the answer is Jesus, right? And what I felt, like one of the things when Peter went on to glory, I thought he went too soon, and I don't understand all that went on. But I thought we need to take the mantle, we need to take the gifts that God gave and release them, receive them and release them. And so who is it? Like, you're feeling that you're supposed to be like maybe in ministry and business or you know, at home and marketplace, and you're wondering, how do I do all this? If that's you, stand to your feet right now. And it might be two different areas or three different areas, but you're wondering, and you've been almost tormented in your mind thinking, I don't know how I would have the time to do this. But Peter Roselli was here at the mentoring session in November with a number of frontline pastors and leaders. And I asked a number of the senior leaders that were there, saying, I'm sure that you've all had times when you felt like you wanted to throw in the towel. Is there any one of you who didn't? And Peter was the only one that put up his hand. He said, I've never felt that. I've always had grace and joy in what I'm doing. I've never had it. And I thought, I'll take that, you know, like that. That's awesome. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to release that grace over you. You know, that grace came from Jesus Christ. And it's like he's not a respecter of persons. And what he gave to Peter, he will give to you. And right now, there's going to be a miracle shift in your lives because, whoa, when this grace comes on, it's going to enable you to do more than what you could ever dream of in rest. It's just going to be like, yeah, I added this to my docket, added that to my docket, but I still got hours in the day. I still, you know, time is my servant, not my master, you know. And so are you ready to receive the grace? Father, in the name of Jesus, this grace comes from you, Lord. And I just impart it. I thank you, Lord, that we had a model for that in Peter, but it's not only for Peter, it's for all your children, Lord. So I release the grace right now to step into multiple levels of service, even if they're in different realms, without getting burned out and without getting fragmented, but a grace that's coming upon them today to enable them to do everything you've called them to do in Jesus' name. Just breathe in that grace. Just receive it. Say, I receive it. It's mine. Like, really take hold of it because it is available to you. Amen.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.